Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. Welcome back. We are on a kind of a sentimental drive for me here. I just started to drive right when a car was coming around me. I am still an FSD supervised 14.1.4, the same version many of you now have. And I'm really, really glad that this is going wider. For those of you that don't have it, there could be one issue that we hadn't talked about a whole lot on my channel, is this is on the 32 branch, 2025.32. Something. If you're already on a .38, you don't go backwards in builds. That could be something keeping you from getting this version. So don't remember, FSD builds typically, there are exceptions, but you typically got to go to a service center. Don't go backwards. So that is one reason some of you may not be getting it. The other is Hardware 3 is not getting it. It is going to pretty much every version of Hardware 4 except for the Cybertruck. But what I want to say today is this is the last drive of Possum, or at least Possum V1. This AI4 Model Y that we got last year in 2024 does not have a front fascia camera. I'm turning it in today and we're getting a Juniper, trading it in and getting a lease, switching to a lease and transferring my FSD over to it. So kind of an exciting day, kind of upgrading the car. A lot of reasons we did it. I know all of them don't make perfect financial sense to everybody, but I am kind of now an advocate of leasing Teslas and keeping the hardware current for me. I have always been a drive it till the wheels come off kind of a guy, but I just have too much hardware FOMO to keep up, and I just want to be on a lease structure so I can keep getting the new cars and keep the payments as low as I can. Anyway, that's kind of why we did it. But anyway, while we do this drive, I figured I would get out here and I'm gonna kinda do our first impressions drive backwards. But I'm out here at 7:45, which is a school zone time zone until 8:30. So we got about 45 more minutes of school zones. And I've got a couple school zones in here programmed in, so we'll kinda see how it behaves up here. And then just kinda chit chat about what's going on, kinda turn this into a driving podcast, because any of you guys know I'm not doing any driving. I'm just watching, supervising. But gosh, there's a lot of things to talk about here. I have my coffee cup in the cup holder today. That, on my last video, I know I was sitting there holding the coffee cup between my legs down here and kind of talking the whole time. The followers that noticed everything noticed that it was actually telling me on the screen that my hands needed to be prepared to take over. I didn't see that small print, or my brain saw what I wanted to see. In any case, coming up on our first school zone, the light is not flashing and we did not slow down. We're at, you know, kind of the school zone. Now we're coming up here on another school zone. It's a Thursday morning. We are in between this school zone speed limit to 8:30, it says right there, and it did the same thing before. It didn't slow down. So to me, school zones might need the flashing lights. Oh, I gotta edit my trip here. Okay, I'm gonna just let it park. I ended up leaving it into the school parking area. I didn't mean to park here. I was gonna talk right through it, but since it started parking, we'll let it park. Pulled into the gravel lot here, which is great. Actually, that's kind of a nice POI now that I think about it. If I was dropping a kid off, this is what I would be doing. And we'll just go ahead and continue. Back up. There's a car coming, which is great. I didn't see the red until just now, but it definitely saw that car coming, and he was waiting for me. Or, nope, dropping someone off for school, which is great. So we're actually seeing a drop-off here, which, to all of you that didn't think school was in session, school is in session. and here's the end school zone. So the parking actually kind of created the scenario that it needed to go slow, but I didn't see any speed limit changes here to honor that. So I think it was just my parking scenario there. Anyway, as I'm looking back in my rearview mirror, I don't know if I can do that. Can you see the flashing yellow light? Going the other way, there is a flashing light. So that school zone apparently has a flashing light going one way, but not the other, interestingly enough. Okay, so we're creeping out here, and we're going left, and we're going to the drawbridge. Now, the next waypoint is one we haven't done before. If you remember last time, I had the Fishweir School as another waypoint that I wanted to use, and it's not going the way I wanted to. That waypoint has it kind of not going through the school zone there. I might need to fix that. Let me see if I can force it a little bit better by doing something like this, and then we'll go there, and I'll change that later. and I will edit the trip. Look at you guys thinking about me editing this trip. Now I'm gonna delete the Fishwear School and we'll just use that Herschel Street waypoint. Crossing the drawbridge, I did see the tender out there and people walking on the drawbridge. Okay, so this one definitely goes through the school the way I wanted. That's good. And then it continues on. I will need to delete that waypoint, but because there's no parking there. So the last drive of Possum is kind of going to be the subject and the title of this video, because there's kind of a lot of things to think about on these AI4 cars, and even Hardware 3, and then the upgrade strategy, and some of the differences, and some of the differences that we'll see in my videos coming up. Like a great example is this HDMI extract that you guys have gotten used to for my videos over the last, you know, 4 years, 5 years since I got this screen. This screen is not compatible with the new Juniper plug. There's a new plug and a new, it's not using an LVDS chip, or the LVDS output that we're using on this is not the same. And we haven't found a solution to get the video stream converted over to HDMI. So that is a downside. And many of you that have been watching Chris Dirty Tesla's videos, a little bit of brake stopping there. Just a couple taps as it was ensuring that its unprotected right there at the right on red was clear. Dirty Tesla's changed up his video display a little bit because of the screen recording. He's using a 360 view and then he's zooming in on the screen, which I'll probably have to convert to some form of zooming in on the screen, which will have some issues in lighting and glare and a little bit of vibration and things like that will come in, which is unfortunate, but that's just kind of the way it is. But I am going to probably be selling this screen. If there's anybody out there on either a model, a Hardware 3 or a Hardware 4 car before Highland or before Juniper, and you're interested in this screen, reach out to me over on X, and we'll see what we can do if you want to get this screen shipped to you. I will be selling it. I'm not giving it away. It was an investment and it's a good piece of gear. All right, jumping into this traffic circle, I can already see the school traffic is definitely packed up there. So we're not going to get a speed limit test. It's drop off time. You can see kind of the flashing yellow up in the distance. Probably you got mom and dads and grandmas dropping their kids off and kind of going slow through the school zone. But you can also see how the school zone interacts with this traffic circle and how efficient it is. I'm getting this edit trip up so I can delete that point right after we go through. We have the right of way here, coming on around, a little bit of a pause there. Flashing speed limit 15. I really want to see this 30 change to 15 here. I really, really do. Deleting that point. Slowly crawling behind this car. Excuse me. Actually, I don't know if the speed limit actually changes. I think on my last time I hit a school zone, it just kind of, it honored the speed without any sort of speed limit change. And then here's the end school zone. So no big deal, right? I mean, we were constrained by cars. We didn't get to see a change in behavior other than the constraints, but it did it just fine. I didn't have anybody to stop for, but it did it just fine today. I think the flashing light is a critical part of the strategy right now, unless there's specific map data that would change its behavior. I don't know. There's a whole lot to think about on that. There's a whole lot of speed constraints that school zones bring into it. And there's other speed constraints too. A lot of people are reaching out to me now that they've got version 14.1.4 and are complaining about not having the manual override with the speed button we used to have. Because in their neighborhood or their, usually it's low speed. Usually it's my neighborhood, the speed limits are wrong, and now the car goes 30 and my speed limit is 20 and I can't control it. That is the biggest problem that this brings into it, is that scenario. Most people say, why can't we have our speed back? And I just bring up the conversation that I know we've gotten used to that speed, and I do think it is the current best solution we could have, but Tesla is working on a robotaxi strategy, and I say, what would you do in a robotaxi in your neighborhood? What should it do? And their answer is, well, you got to go to the speed limit. Some people are saying, I need to go slower than the speed limit because the speed limit is too fast. I don't know how you do that in a robotaxi. The best I think you could do is get the speed limits right on the map data. But it's a thought. I mean, it's something, and honestly, the public conversation about how you would do it is important for all of the Tesla engineers that get to lurk on X and lurk on our comments and listen to the problems that we're expressing. You know, they don't have every solution in their mind. So the more we converse about how we think it should work, the more data points they get to take in into how they decide to take the next stab at the problem. And I use that terminology, the next stab, as, you know, purposefully. Four-way stop here, just to kind of talk about it. Slow, continued, didn't have any stabs there on that four-way at all. I need to stop using stabbing. I understand it's not stabbing. It's tapping. It's brake presses. Okay, we are turning right to go to Biscotti's. The route just kind of did that to where we kind of passed it, and we're going to go right, and then we're going to let it park. I do see a truck coming that I bet it waits for, and it is waiting for that. 13 would have gone in front of that car. I just generally can kind of feel what gaps 13 would have gone for. I don't know if you just saw that. I did just get a little bit of a windshield wiper wipe. There was no water on the windshield. Kind of a hazy, kind of cloudy morning here in Jacksonville. Lots of spots. Blinkers on. It's going to go into one of these angled spots, no problem. Which one's it going to choose? That one right there on the edge. Great choice. Not a handicapped. And then pull it all the way forward. It'll be interesting to look at this on the Juniper, how these heat maps on the front edge, whether or not FSD is using the front bumper camera. I know some people have done testing on that, but that'll be new for me after we swap over. Interesting. So it pulled over, got in the spots, and then honored for those cars to join. That was a little bit different interaction, how it backed out of the spot but had room to join. And we're going to our next route. That's good. We're going to the Riverside parking streets. So the front bumper camera is the only hardware difference for FSD that the Juniper will have. So possible change of behavior, I don't know. But the other features of the cars and the sound system, the increased suspension, the quieter glass, all the other improvements, brake by wire, a couple little brake taps there as that car was coming into this intersection as we creeped out. Those are the other smoothness pieces. You know, the ambient lighting, things like that are small little accents that make it nice. I do have some new floor mats that I got shipped to me. That is going to be a conversation I have in a future video. The actual all-weather floor mats on this Model Y will not fit in the Juniper. Just something, a point of note for people to think about. I'm going to show a little bit of a demonstration of how they're different at some point. Maybe when I'm getting my cameras ready in the car or something like that. All right, four-way stop. We had the right-of-way. It did one extra brake tap there, but it wasn't a tap, tap, tap. It was just one extra pause to ensure that truck was waiting on us. And then we went straight through it. So that was good. That was two four-way stops that I thought were handled just right. Without any aggressive brake tapping. A few of the other ones have had some of them, but not too much. So the coffee mug thing is kind of an interesting thing. It's been in here in my cup holder, hadn't had any problems. I'm going to shift gears and hold it for a little bit. Let's kind of see what the driver monitoring does. Let's pay a little bit more attention to the alerts today. You see, I do have my green dot up in the upper right-hand corner, which does mean that my driver monitoring is active. So just something in my hands, and I'm kind of obviously holding it in my hands a little bit higher, was definitely what I think it was last time. We'll see if we get any nags here in the next few minutes. I think it's going to be pretty tolerant at first because usually it's got a ramp-up strategy of warning you. It's not as annoying right at the get-go. It kind of warns you once, and then the times go down and shorter for subsequent nags. So now that FSD 14.1.4 has gone to so many people, we're starting to get a lot of kind of people that are complaining about the braking and the other things that aren't as smooth as 13. And all I can tell you is, we told you. You know, if you upgraded to this and you're wishing you can go back to 13.29, maybe you need to take that upgrade button off of advanced. You know, if you took the upgrade, hey, great, you leave the feedback and comment on it, that's fine. But don't give FOMO of going back to 13.29 publicly if you complained and now you got it. I don't think most people are doing that, but while we make these videos and talk about the features and talk about the good and the bad, it's amazing how the human brain typically only hears the FOMO and what they want and why they don't get it. And many people paid for this and think they should have it the latest. And, you know, Tesla knows what they're doing with a rollout strategy. They really do. They know what most people like. They also know where the car is the safest and when it's the smoothest. It's just something to take in with a grain of salt. You know, I'm not going to recommend, you know, now it needs to go wide, you know, if it's smoother. When I make a recommendation, whether it be public to you guys listening or to Tesla if they're listening, all I'm saying is it safe? Is it safe and it's not going to cause an accident, you know, due to something being unsafe? The brake issue that we've been talking about, the smoothness issue, is not a safety issue. It's a comfort issue. Now, in some people, that comfort issue could lead to safety, and I understand that argument. A little bit of a brake stop there. What's it doing? Okay, this is not a pro. Oh, you know what? Congratulations, Tesla. I was thinking you were stopping at the green light, looking at something completely different, but you were measuring the gap I had to go into, and you made the right decision. And now you're proceeding through a yellow because you realized you were in the intersection. That was really, really good. I'm sitting here gabbing my gums, and then thinking you were not going through the green light, getting ready to complain, and as my brain caught up to the scenario, there wasn't room for us to go without blocking the intersection. You chose to wait. That was awesome. That is better than a human while I'm talking anyway. If I was completely focused on the road, I might have recognized that too, but I didn't see why you were slowing down. Nice job. Now, it is a little bit busier here, and most of the times I've been doing these drives, it hadn't had this traffic, and we're coming from a different direction to our waypoint we have up here, and this waypoint is our parking on the street scenario. Oh, gosh, here I am again, and I've got it select for driveway. See that? This is the parking. Listen, I know this is a testing environment, but I wanted street. I got street set now, but the point is I didn't have it set. And I would have looked for a driveway, but anyway, we got it in there. And here we are, it pulled over into what I think is a perfectly fine spot. Now, there is a fire hydrant up there. It didn't choose that spot. And it's gonna go into park. Nice job. Because I got the parking set for street just in time. I wish it would save that setting. I haven't changed the waypoint. And you know, now we're going to Memorial Park, and I do want parking lot because that's where we're going, and I want to try that thin wire test, and I hopefully that parking lot choice will stay. I know I'm talking a mile a minute. It is the coffee probably, but there's, you know, doing this route backwards is different. It's so funny how just the direction of travel and the thought process and what we're doing. I do have the highway and everything incorporated on this. Going nice and smoothly through a yellow there. We're going to be taking a right here from Memorial Park, and I think the waypoint will let me do the thin chain test. I'm just going to double check. It didn't change anything. It still says parking lot, which is where the thin chain test should come into play. Good there. Let's see where it goes. Remember before I had street accidentally selected, and it kind of pulled over right here, which was appropriate for street, but I want parking lot. It looks like it's going to go up here. Great. So it's all about having the right option selected. Beautiful morning on the river. Thoughts and prayers to those of you in Jamaica and Cuba, if you happen to see this content. Probably not in Cuba. Okay. What's it going to do? Oh my gosh. What's it going to do? All right. I think it's going to... All right. Okay. Same thing. It doesn't see the thin chain. I almost, this was the closest it ever went to a spot just beyond the chain, but it did not see the chain. So that is still not a pass, nor did I expect it to be a pass yet either. That is just kind of the way it is. It can't see something so small. Now, the clues it needed to take in were the bollards, and the bollards holding the chain were visible in the occupancy network. So what is its little neural network brain thinking there with the bollards, and is it going to fit in? Oh, I'm not going to hit the bollards, but it couldn't see the chain. I don't know what the answer is there, other than higher resolution, more pixels, something like that. Or maybe they're just not trained to see something that small yet. They need the red and the white and something very distinct and colored. It is a yellow chain, but the lighting in the background just make it hard to see. As a human, I can see it very clearly, which is obviously an eye resolution versus camera resolution issue, I guess. Now, we are going right here. I normally go left here, but see how it's tapping to get out and get its visibility? Now we're clear on the left, and it didn't hesitate. So there's a lot of traffic coming to the right, but it wasn't worried about that traffic from the right. So it's not worried about all traffic. It's just, where is it going? What lane does it need to jump into, and how is it going to proceed? So that was good. Since I'm going backwards, okay, so we're jumping on the interstate, and we're going all the way around. I need to change that waypoint when we're on the highway, because it's got us looping back around. But that's what I want. We're going to get our highway mode in here. We're going to talk about the traffic scenarios and jumping on the highway. Might even do a little bit of Mad Max on the highway if we got some rush hour. Oh, okay. Whoa, do you see that? That was awesome. The flashing yellow was stopping me. I didn't see the pedestrian. The pedestrian was way over there. But these flashing yellows was the warning. I mean, the flashing yellows happened because she pressed the button. She created that scenario, but she was way over there. So the lights work great, just like the school zones. I know the lights work great, but that pedestrian crosswalk was probably one of the better ones I've had with that kind of a lighting system. It wasn't her showing intent. She didn't stick a leg out. She was parked in that spot, but she had hit that button that initiated the pedestrian crosswalk signage that stopped the car on a dime. That was now I need to go back and look at that and see how long it was flashing. Those of you that get the benefit of watching this in post-production can rewind it a little bit. Did the lights come on and that's why it broke, or did it not see it soon enough and then it broke aggressively? Those are the things that are going in my mind right now, but no doubt about it, it did the right thing. Now, as a human, I probably would have blasted right through that. Because I was like, oh, I didn't see it quick enough, and I'm going so fast, I don't want anybody to tailgate me and get hit. But it did the right thing. It stopped when the lights were flashing safely. There was nobody behind me either, so if it was going to take into consideration whether or not it should go through the light, it did, because there was nobody behind me to worry about. Gosh, moments like that just make me so excited about the potential of this technology to not only drive safer, save lives, the attention in 360 degrees when there are no obstructions, and how it handles obstructions can be solved through software in many, many, many cases. And when not, then just low speed and caution can be the rule, and or mapping and navigation can be the other rule. I know a lot of you love to talk about my camera placement issues, and I still do not believe this is the optimal camera location, but Tesla is continuing to prove that they can mitigate risk through software technique, navigation, speed management, things like that. So I do think that this car can go unsupervised if the states will allow it. It'll just have to manage its operational design domain and go places it knows it can go. Which is probably why they're doing high definition mapping and a lot of mapping where the robotaxi is they just need to be 100% sure of their domain in the places they're allowing the robotaxi to go. With a driver in the seat, it's ready right now, almost technology-wise, to allow the attention monitoring to just warn us. The software isn't there yet. I'm just saying, I feel all of the functions are here to make that happen. Okay, I think we're getting ready to get a green left arrow here. At least it feels like it ought to be coming up in just a second. Let's see if we get any sort of weird pre-roll on. There it is. No pre-roll, but there's our green arrow. And we're coming on around. I think we're a couple more lights joining the highway from a different direction. It's going to require a little bit of a merge for maybe some rush hour. We'll see how that goes. You know, this morning Elon made a post. It was pretty early in the morning. I got up at 6 a.m. and it was a 3 hour ago post. That means it was posted at 3, which means it was midnight if he was on the West Coast, so not that late for him. But he was talking about how rapidly this technology is going to get, you know, I think he used the word might. He's like, you know, FSD or autonomy or self-driving. He used one of those words. I don't think he referred to FSD. He said might be the rapidest technology adoption of any technology. You know, and I commented, I quote posted them and started a conversation this morning. Many of you that watch my content or see these videos have already chimed in early this morning talking about what it takes to spread this. And my initial thought is it takes butts in seats. You got to get somebody to feel it. You got to get somebody to see how it just reacted to that pedestrian crosswalk intersection versus tell them about it, post them about it. Because when you talk to another human, there's a little bit of a natural defense mechanism that jumps in that thinks that they're smart and they've got the right, you know, purchase and the money they spent was the best way. There's some self-rationalization about your own purchases and your own decisions, meaning like purchasing a car. So if you've got, you know, a Ford Blue Cruise and you're pretty happy with Blue Cruise and, you know, you're like, you know, it drives on the highway, it's great. And you start to self-rationalize. There's no way to tell that person that FSD is better without them getting defensive in their own mind or without them thinking it through about what it would take, you know, for them to transition and realize how expensive that might be and other things, unless you get them butts in seats. And I'm even saying driver's seat, not even passenger seat. They've got to feel the rush through their arms of a near miss or something like that and realize FSD just saved their butt. They've got to feel that, not see it. Butts in seats is how it's going to be done. Now, robotaxi might be a part of that solution once we get some density to the robotaxi fleet where it's ubiquitous and everybody can have a robotaxi ride. I do think it could be a technology then. But I don't think that's going to solve it in the near term. And the other point is price. You know, FSD is, while I do think it's priced for its value, it takes the purchase of a Tesla and adding the price of FSD, it takes it out of the reach of the demographic that is most likely to adopt this technology the fastest, and that's the young, right? You know, most of you that are driving your Teslas and most of you that paid for FSD up front are in a demographic and an age graphic closer to me that is towards the end of their career and has some money saved up and they're buying nicer things. And granted, I know there's a lot of people that still can't, you know, even consider affording that, which means it's too expensive for mass adoption. And mass adoption is a number greater than 12% on the Tesla fleet in my mind. And then mass adoption in the total addressable market, the TAM for the entire driving population, has to be higher than that. So how do you get it to go wider? The only way, it's not the only way. My personal opinion is that the Tesla brand needs to be ubiquitous with FSD. You should not be able to own a Tesla without FSD being a part of it. Now, if you choose to not turn it on, that's fine. But the monthly cost or the initial upfront cost and you choosing not to get it because you're managing cash flow shouldn't be the reason. I know this is a hard conversation for many people to hear or understand or even agree with me on, but I'll use some another analogies. You know, airlines that include Wi-Fi in their ticket price, it's part of their brand to just give away free Wi-Fi. Not all airlines do it. Mine happens to do it, but it's part of our brand. When you buy a ticket, you just understand Wi-Fi is included. It's a perk. It gets people to do it. They like it. And many other airlines are adopting that free Wi-Fi strategy, and I think it's smart. Now, adding your car to a robotaxi fleet is a completely different argument. In my mind, that kind of goes down the New York City medallion model of charging something to belong to a fleet. If you're going to monetize your car in an eventual robotaxi fleet, Tesla can charge whatever they want, in my mind, based off of your opportunity to earn money, the percentage they want you to earn, and their cut, and all of that. I don't care about that. I'm talking about a person owning their vehicle and how much they are willing to spend upfront or in a monthly fee to add a portion to their monthly payment. Let's take a young kid like my son that is considering perhaps another car in the not too distant future. His income and everything is gonna automatically migrate down to something like a lease or a purchase agreement for something like a Model 3 or a Model Y, and maybe get that monthly payment down into the $200 to $300 range, and that's gonna be like, oh my gosh, I can afford that. If you're working your monthly payment down to that price point, adding $99 a month on top of that is a non-starter. But adding $99 a month onto the price of a Model S Plaid, who cares? how can a product get to the demographics if it's equally priced based off of, you know, a flat fee that to the consumer is just like the Netflix that they have to decide, maybe I'll never watch it, or I don't want to pay that monthly fee for something I may or may not use. That same equation goes on with these pricing structures. It's a hard problem and I don't have all the answers, but I'm just saying that price is the biggest issue from getting people to even have it available to turn on for the people that choose to buy a Tesla, you know, maybe for not that reason. They're going to have to solve it. And maybe once they get supervised FSD done, they're going to commit to solving that pricing point issue and get people to do it. Just because I'm going to be texting on my phone one day, sitting in this driver's seat, probably in the near future, does not mean everybody's going to rush out and start paying $99 a month. There's still going to be a decision of whether or not they can afford that. They may be envious, they may have FOMO, they may have all of that, but it doesn't solve the problem of their monthly income or how much they can afford. It's a serious conversation to have about where this price point needs to be. Aggressive lane change to the right there. That was weirdly uncomfortable. I don't know. You know what? Go back and look at that. There was a concrete section of the road that I think it went around that was completely drivable, but somehow it went around it as if it was an object in the road, like a piece of plywood or something. I think it was avoiding something, not uncomfortably lane changing. Take a look at that. I'm probably not going to put that on the highlight reel unless I go back and see exactly what it was. Did you? Now, that was a pretty aggressive swerve away from that truck. Did you see that swerve? Wow. Oh my gosh, what I'm getting on this short drive. Did he like encroach my lane, or did it just all of a sudden say he didn't like it? Both of those were uncomfortable lane changes because I didn't feel it coming. It was safe in both times, but it was like, what's going on here? But I'm having a deep conversation with you about the pricing of FSD. The other thing, I think I was trying to get to the last point on this subject, and I'm glad we're getting to talk about this, is that even when FSD is solved, it doesn't mean the price can just go up. You know, FSD has been as high as $15,000. Tesla learned very quickly that was too expensive for the product they were selling at the time. And a lot of people, including Miss Jillian, are still very angry about how much they paid and what they're getting for it. Understandably, this has turned into a Kickstarter of sorts. You know, we're giving you money for the hope of the future, and maybe we get a taste of what comes in the end if it all works out. That's kind of how it feels. But if they solve FSD, even if it's level 3 in the driver's seat, that does not mean they can immediately raise the $8,000 price to $20,000. That will completely shut down the market. People just aren't going to have that kind of disposable income to throw into a technology to allow them to do something like texting or driving in the back seat, or even the use case of, I want it to be my drunk driver home scenario. I drink too much and I don't want to get a DUI. I'm going to sit in the back seat. Even if that is the use case, people are not going to pay $20,000 up front right now in today's dollars for that scenario they should probably not be doing anyway. So somehow the price of FSD needs to just go away. It just needs to be part of the decision of buying a Tesla. It needs to come with the safety that Tesla provides. And then let's convince people to turn it on and use it. You can't have this double tiered, I want a Tesla and God, I'd love to have FSD. The Tesla and FSD need to be the same product. In my opinion, that's going to stir some conversation, and I guarantee you I'm going to love reading every comment and commenting back with you guys. But let me know what you think about it. All right, we are jumping off the highway, and that went pretty good. There were two things in there I got to look in post-production to decide whether or not they were interesting scenarios. The swerve around the truck that I didn't see encroachment on, maybe he did encroach. And then we were in the off-ramp and it went around what I think was just a drivable space of concrete, but it reacted as if it was, I don't know, an object in the road. What are you guys saying? Did you see anything? Tell me about it. All right, let me edit my trip here. Supercharger, and then we're going to go to that parking lot, and then let me go to Lambs. We hadn't been to Lambs in a while. FSD Lambs. That's good. Turnings. Let me play with the screen while we're turning, and then we'll go to FSD Return, and we'll talk about it. See how it does that. Nice. I'm really passionate about this pricing thing, meaning like because I benefit from it, I want to find a way that makes sense for everyone to benefit from it. That, you know, it's like we getting butts in a Tesla is half of the battle, or maybe even three quarters of the battle. Getting FSD to be bought and turned on are the other parts of it that I think will come. But I can't tell you how many people that have FSD and don't use it or choose it for highway only because of memories they had of V11, V12, or V10, or whatever. You know, the people that bought FSD, and maybe it's not those of you watching this channel, but it might be your spouses. It might be your boyfriends or girlfriends that maybe, you know, get to use your car as if it was their own. They may not turn it on. And that has been my experience, you know, while I'm out here using it every which way but loose. You know, my spouse won't turn it on, except for in certain scenarios where it's just kind of useful, highway or something like that. So that's a whole nother part of it, is that education and things like that. I think the biggest opportunity for preventing accidents is right here in the city streets environment, but most people aren't turning it on in this environment that own it. I even bet most of you that own it don't even turn it on in city streets the most of the time. I know a lot of you are shaking your heads and going, no, I turn it on all the time. But I think that's just the way it is. I don't know. I mean, I turn it on for the novelty of seeing what it's going to do. That's an extra incentive I've got to want to be able to talk about it and communicate what it can do. That's an extra incentive I got to turn it on. Some people just like to drive. Some people say, I bought a Tesla for how it feels. That's a very good point. You know, if you like the feel of the acceleration and the power and you know, why would you turn FSD on and cruise around in sloth mode? I get it. That's a good reason. But you're not getting the safety benefit at that point. God, wouldn't it be great if, you know, the parental profiles or whatever, you know, you could only let your kids use FSD. That would be great in the future. You know, controlling speed, they'll never go over 85. FSD is going to choose all these, you know, routes and behaviors. Most of us don't worry about our kids like that. But all right, guess what? We just verified that FSD does not honor the man's urinal protocol. Okay, so you see how it chose to park? Now, this is fine. This is a 250 kilowatt charger, so the chargers all have the maximum amperage available, but there were three or four spots down there that were wide open. There's an unwritten rule about supercharging. You got to honor the man's urinal protocol, which means if there's a spot that's open where you're not parking right next to someone, you take it. And that's just for, I don't know, who can explain what the man's urinal protocol means? Right? I mean, it's sort of like if there's an open spot to give yourself some personal space, you take it. Anyway, I know all you guys out there understand, and many women understand, too, what that is. Anyway, those of you watching this on YouTube, my demographic is men over the age of 40 anyway, so there's only a few women watching this. All right, it chose an unprotected left versus going to the light there, coming out of the Wawa. So this is a scenario where I would have gone to the light. There's a center turn lane. Now we have a truck waiting for us. It's taking its chance. It's clear to the left. It's ought to go to the center turn lane and look. And it went to the center turn lane and looked, and now we went out. So it did a fine job there. It just chose the harder route. So you can argue that it doesn't always avoid the unprotected left. It is not hard-coded to avoid unprotected lefts given two equal choices. It could have gone left or right out of that supercharger. Going to the right would have taken it to the light. Going to the left took it out to an unprotected left right next to a light. It did it just fine. It chose the harder route and it worked out. Kind of makes me wonder why it chose that route. I would think that a robotaxi system ought to be biasing itself to go to a controlled scenario like a traffic light. All right, guess what, guys? We're getting our third school zone. We got seven more minutes till 8:30, and here we are up ahead, 15 miles an hour, flashing light this time. So this scenario ought to be honored. No doubt about it. We're going to be constrained by the cars, but we're at least going to get to see if the speed limit changes or anything like that. Everybody's going 15, so we're slowed down to it. But we're going to get to see for sure on version 14.14 all the features of it here. So School zone, 15 when flashing. There it is, 15. So that is definitive that the car goes to 15 when constrained by the school zone. So now here's the end school zone sign right there. When is FSD gonna speed up? It ought to be going right now. It's not. The traffic next to me is starting to speed up. I'm still going 15 in a 40. I don't have anybody behind me, so I'm gonna let this play out. This is a problem. What would you do here? Would you tap the accelerator and go? I mean, I now look silly. Yeah, I'm going 15 and a 40. The school zone's way back there. Good on you for starting the, see these cars zorching by me? Oh, goodness. These problems are so hard to solve. There it goes. It just went to 40, but it's not increasing its speed. 16, 17. What else do you need from me to tell you? I'm not going to tap the accelerator because I'm in an unconstrained environment. I have no cars to deal with. And there it speeds up. I just felt it. That's how long it took to decide to speed up. That's actually a thumbs down in my mind. You did that wrong. I don't know what your input is to decide when to speed up, if it's mapping, if it's data or something like that, but that was not how you handle it. I do think that if there were cars speeding up around me, it would not have waited that long. I think it would have had some sort of bias input from something else that it would have had to clue in on. But in the scenario, well, no, wait, I did have one car zorch by me on the left side. All right, what spot are you going to choose here today? You got your left blinker on. You're going to just take this one. You're going to go past it. Okay, you're taking that one. That's fine. What do you think on the school zones, guys? That was a little disappointing. I was glad to see the speed limit change. So now we can verify on this version, there's still a visual indicator that it's recognizing it. So when we're going through those school zones with times and flashing lights not working and other things like that, we can verify that it's not acknowledging the school zone, because if the speed limit doesn't change, it's not doing it. Now, I'd have gone left to the stoplight. Again, the stoplight was just back there to the left. It's jumping out here to do another unprotected left. Yeah, you just made this problem harder than it needed to be. I mean, it's fine. I think it can do it, but both of those choices were the harder choice. Go to the controlled intersection. Listen, I'm talking from the robotaxi, not let's test the system. If I'm going to try to create a test like my unprotected left turn, yeah, let's do that all day long. That's fine. I'm forcing the system to do it. But now, when I'm unconstraining you, I kind of want you to take the best option to get there safely. I mean, look at this traffic. You got a car in the center turn lane. You got a car on the other side merging. We've got to wait on the light. We're turning left here. If you're going right, that's okay. But going left here? Now we got two cars. Well, I mean, why did you choose that? Let's think through that. Was it just pure? I mean, I saw the planner take it, and the planner chose that. But your weaving around the parking lot versus the planner has not always been one for one. All right. Well, we're going to get to, it's going to do it. I have trusted it's going to do it. It's going to just wait longer, or it's going to be riskier. Now, it does need to creep out, because there's some obstructions to the left through some bus stops and things like that, and I can't really see. And it may be taking its time. Well, now both cars are out of the center turn lane, so the center turn lane is available. But now is that box truck, is he taking a left? Looking at his steering wheel, he's taking a left too. Oh God, now he got his chance. Did he take away my chance? All right, there's your chance to the left. Okay, we're open to the left. You gonna go? Oh, look, you got another car that jumped in your turn lane. But now you're rolling, good, good, good. And we're open both directions. So you did it, congratulations. But if you're gonna do this a million times, that's not the way to have done it. You needed to go to this light right here and wait for your green turn arrow, and let's go. I don't know. Do you guys kind of agree with me there? I do know that okay, that was good. It was turning in the right lane. He slowed down. It stopped. Now it's going to go back to the right. Well, that was good reaction. Very smooth. When I engage it at home now, not on camera, it chooses to avoid my turn. It goes to the stoplight on the routing almost every single time. I can kind of force it to where the shortest pass is through the turn. It doesn't do a U-turn and go back to the light, but just in a 50-50 scenario out of my driveway, it chooses the stoplight. I would have called that parking lot a 50-50, which way do you want to go? And in the last two situations, the Wawa and that shopping center parking lot, it chose the unprotected left. I'm thinking like a robotaxi. What should it have done? You know, does a human get to chill? I mean, I'm in standard mode. I'm not in Mad Max. It's not, I mean, maybe if I was in chill, I don't know. These behaviors, I still don't have an answer. Do these behaviors change its choices? I don't think the answer to that is yes. Nobody's giving me definitive on that. The behaviors, the activities, I think it's mostly about speed and lane changes, frequency of lane changes. It's not about aggressiveness of timing and things like that. So we haven't done this road in a long time on film. This is kind of the curvy road back to Lambs. I used to do this on the narrow roads test because there was a, you know, kind of a no berm right edge here and people's trash cans. It used to kind of be scared of the side of the road. Once we came on to the in neural networks, all those problems went away and I kind of took this street out of my testing scenario. But because we did our first impressions drive backwards, I figured I would throw this back in here because it's kind of a nice little S-curvy road. And there is another school up here and it is 8:30 on the nose right now. So we might not get a school zone time window here. Do you have a trash truck here? It's got people walking around it. It's kind of, it didn't slow down at all. I mean, obviously if it saw a human peek out there. Okay, these cars are going around him. They're swerving. That, it handled that just, it didn't overreact to that at all. Wider truck and trailer gave him a little extra berth. These trash cans are kind of giving it some stuff on the right side and the occupancy network to see. All right, we're coming up on the school right around this next bend. You can see all the cars from the teachers. It's got a school entrance sign. I don't have a school zone sign yet. Just said school entrance. Yeah, there's no flashing lights or any indications of a school zone here. I think school's in session. Normally 8:30 and all the other ones are when the school zone signs are. You know what? This one didn't have a school zone sign. And looking back, yeah, none of these signs say school zone. So there's nothing, you know, that's a context. It says school entrance in yellow both times. That does not say school zone. So is that a third scenario of, should it have slowed down? I don't know. I'm going into Lambs. I'm going to let it do its parking thing. You know, this is kind of a boatyard. It's got public parking, so I'm going to just let it do its parking lot thing. You guys, I've done this once, and it did some weird things around this oak tree where it chose to park. Remember that? It kind of got confused by the parking lot. What are you going to do? Oh, look. Now, see, he's parking, and now you're backing up to park. Oh, you're going to reverse in. Okay, if you go all the way back, that's fine. But you see how he was not done parking and I just kind of got in his business? Oh, what are you doing? You knucklehead. Oh, God, I feel so embarrassed. I'm just going to let it ride. This guy in this Ford F-150 is probably looking at me going, what are you doing? See how he needed an extra three-point turn to get right. But I just pretended like I owned the parking lot and didn't give him any room. So I'm going to go ahead and hit start there while he's adjusting. So I don't have to actually look him in the eye and apologize. I'm sorry, buddy. I like your truck, though. It's a nice-looking truck. All right. So that would be what I called... It didn't behave very courteously there, right? Okay, we're going that way. Ah, shucks. You know what? I'm going to change the route here because I'm going to force it kind of down another little rural spot. I want to go to Stinson Park. And I know. And then let me edit the trip. It's going to have to do a U-turn to do this. Now, which way are you going to go? Okay, let me go. Yes, that's the way I want you to go. So you have to turn around and do it. Make it happen. Let me go this way. I want to go that way. Oh, you have to reroute again. Okay, there's a nice little curved road to go back over across the drawbridge. And the drawbridge sometimes comes up. No, I want to go this way. Okay. Oh, actually, this is going to be even better. because I'm now creating a more dynamic. This is even better than the road I had. I've got, oh God, school bus at the railroad tracks. I know I'm gonna hit a school bus just right one day. See how the school bus stops. I've got a green light to go straight. Is it gonna make it? Yeah, it YOLO'd that railroad track and just went for it. Nice. Now I'm, now, this is actually a great route. I wish I'd have thought of this. Now it's gonna go right. It's got this little S curve under the bridge. And then we're gonna go back around to the park and go that way. It was, with that green light, it just went straight across the railroad tracks very confidently, which was nice. It did that perfectly. I have not been able to hit a bus just right or a railroad just right to see how it handles both of those scenarios. So we'll just have to keep driving. You know, maybe we'll get it on the new Juniper at some point. Because this is the last drive for Possum V1. I think we're going to name the second car Possum because we're getting the same Quicksilver paint. All right, nice peak there. I'm going to miss this HDMI extract. I have to be honest. Still have not solved the Cybertruck screen extract either. I know I, you know, raised some money to buy some screens and parts, and we have not been able to figure that out yet with the parts we bought. So doesn't mean it's not doable. It just means we haven't figured it out yet. And I know there's a screen sharing feature that we've seen in the Tesla app and some stuff like that, but I don't think that's going to be a 4K video extract that you guys are used to seeing here. I'm not sure, but I just don't think that's what to expect here. You know, on this road also has that exact same pedestrian crossing intersection. You see that little, and this surprised me there too. It's got the flashing lights when somebody hits the button. Same exact scenario there that we interacted with at the beginning of the drive. Ooh. I heard my coffee cup rattle. I thought it was spilling, but it wasn't. Everybody's Halloween decorations are out. Wow, he's got some like 10-foot skeletons. Those are cool. Did we ever get a hand? I don't think we ever got a nag with me holding the coffee cup, did we? I never saw it. Let me see if I can get one on the end of this drive. We're getting close to the end, though. I think I can actually edit my trip. I'm here, force the waypoint there. It should go across the drawbridge to our wrap-up scenario. So, how long have we been driving? 55 minutes. Who's still here? Raise your hand. Leave me a comment that you watch these videos in full. I'm proud of you if you're doing it. I don't know, some people just like having a chit-chat and listening one-way conversations. So the purpose of this drive was the last drive of Possum V1. We're probably still gonna call the other car Possum. Maybe we'll come up with a little bit of a nickname for it. Trading it in today, 5:30 delivery at the Jacksonville Service Center. Really looking forward to that. Love this car. I love AI4. Looking forward to the Juniper, the quiet, the ride, the suspension, the sound system, and the fascia camera. Still hardware 4 though, same computer. Hardware 5 is not coming to our cars until 27 in my mind. So I don't have any fear of lease terms and stuff like that interfering with hardware 5. But you know me, I can't sit still. If there's something out there, you know I'm going to want to play with it and see if I can make it happen. This drive was pretty carbon copy of the behaviors that you guys have been seeing on 14.14. And on my first impressions drive that we went the other direction. There are small little braking issues that you feel the car thinking. Every decision it made today was correct. Two or three of them startled me because I wasn't seeing what it saw, and I had to bring my vision to what it was seeing by the time I realized what was going on. The smoothness is just, it's not smooth as butter. It's reactive. It's a little bit like a reactive driver. It doesn't mean it's not safe. It is very safe. It's just, it's smooth and startling. And honestly, those startling moves are the types of things that kept many from ever using FSD in the first place. It was jerky. They were unsure of what it was doing. They were confused by it, and they just didn't trust it. That same feeling does come across in this version for that adoption curve we talked about at length earlier. You know, why aren't people using it? I think that's something to hear. You know, like, I don't think everyone is going to feel comfortable with those jerks if they feel them. And that's something to, that they'll smooth out. But just understand, if you downloaded it, that's what you signed up for by pressing that advance button. Tesla will get it right. You're just on the boat with us. Ride it. This version's solid. I'm really looking forward to 14.2. I don't know what 14.2 is going to have in it. I know we're waiting on more parameters. Don't know what that's going to mean, but I'm looking forward to understanding it better. You know, we still don't have, you know, go park yourself, what some people are calling banish. I like saying go park yourself. I hope you all got that joke. There's a lot inside of it. And yeah, you know, there's a whole lot of other, you know, the parking stack for Summon and actually Smart Summon is still using the old stack, so it could use some improvement there too. But here we are, it pulled into the driveway. Let's decide to see where it stops. And it stops. Hey, thanks for joining me today. It's a great software version. I'm going to miss this car. It's been a great car. You did a great job, Possum. And we'll see you guys next time. Have a great day, everybody.